Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
I just want to know, before I start, how many of you came here of your own volition? All right, I mean, you weren't forced to come, right? Most of you? Some of you? That's good. That's good. Because today we're going to talk about choices, the decisions we make and how we make them. And, you know, we all end up making decisions. And here's the big thing. Once you make a decision will remake you. Once you make a choice, the choice will remake you. Every choice entails a decision, and the decision has with it its own consequence. Last week I announced I had made a decision to conclude my ministry here and to move on to other things in ministry. But it's not just about me. Each of you constantly are making decisions, small ones and big ones, easy ones and small ones. You find yourself facing important decisions. Are you going to stay with that job, or are you going to go on to the next one? Are you going to stay with that marriage, or are you going to go on to the next one? Are you going to stay here, or are you going to move on to somewhere else to live? We all find ourselves making important decisions. And that's why choices for a Christian are of ultimate concern. Do I hold on, or do I go on? Do I keep on doing what I'm doing, or do I do something else? Do I move on, or do I stay put? The good news this morning is that God wants to help us as we make decisions. And we're looking in this sermon series at Psalm 23 and the goodness of God. And we said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And then at the second part of verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do we know what that means? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All that means is he's leading us on the right path that he wants us to go on, which will honor who he is. Because every day and every way, we find ourselves at a crossroads in life. And we get to choose. Are we going to go down this way? Or are we going to go this way? And whatever way we go down, new decisions are formed. Karen loves to take Buster for walks at noon. And she'll often go to the catch basin on Locan by the Red Elementary School, I think it's called. And just on the other side of it there, she can go to the residential area, get off, and there's a little trail, and she and Buster can go walk around, and they can see the geese and the other birds and the ground squirrels, and then they'll go for a little bit, and then they'll stop and look, and Buster will lead Karen further on to the next stop to look at and smell, and on they go for a while until it's time to go back. And every time eventually so far, they've returned home. And that's the goal, of course, is to make it back home safely. Isn't life a lot like that? Life is nothing more than a series of starts and stops, choices and decisions. But like Karen and Buster, at the end of it all, don't we want to arrive safely home? Led in the paths of righteousness. But how? How can we be sure we can discern the paths of righteousness for his name's sake? How do we know when we're making a choice that it's a godly choice? And for that to be answered, first of all, we need to look at some negatives. We need to do something that isn't very comfortable. If we really want to be led by the Spirit of God in our decision making, then these are the things we need to stop doing. Have lines in your bulletin with the outline, and if you want to write them down, you can. But these are essential. If you want to be led by the Spirit of God to the next venture in your life, then first of all, you've got to stop being led by a culture that doesn't follow God. You can't go in two directions at once. You can't chase two rabbits at the same time. You can't serve God and money or God and anything else, because there can only be one, number one, in your life. What is that number one in your life this morning? Our culture has a lot of number ones, but none of them say, let's follow the Lord God, our Creator. And so if we follow our culture, we can get lost and end up no longer submitting to our God, and yet still believing somehow that the Lord God, His Spirit, will still help us in our decision making. Yeah, we're not the first people to think that way. Ancient Israel had the same problem. They kept wanting to be just like every other nation, and yet God had made them to be distinctive, one of a kind, separate, set apart. And God gave them the ceremonial law to remind them of their distinctiveness. And they would sacrifice animals, and they would have their rituals, and they would have their rites, and they would have their rules that would set them apart from every other nation. And when they got in trouble, they got in trouble because they forgot their first God, and they started running after other gods. They forgot who they were in an anti-countercultural people, and they began to assimilate with the Canaanites and all the other people around them. And when they did that, they no longer could listen to what God was saying to them. Today, many Christians in America have forgotten their covenant made at their baptism with the one true God. Many of us today find ourselves going with the culture more and more, and not only as individuals, but as churches, capitulating to whatever society says is the way to go, and in the process, forgetting what God is saying is true and right. Listen to what it says in Romans 12. Paul felt this was so important that he wanted to teach the church in Rome, where Peter also was, where Mary was. He wanted to teach that church this. He said to them, do not copy the behavior or values of this world. Instead, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do. Did you hear that? You will only know what God wants you to know if your thinking is transformed, and your thinking will be transformed only if you no longer conform to the culture that's around you. You're only going to be transformed if God is God in your life and you allow the God of God to affect your thinking process so you can be transformed so you might know His will, His good and pleasing and perfect will. God has planned good for our lives. But you have to be on the same page as God is. And so that's the first thing we must stop, being led by a culture that doesn't follow God. Now let me get a little bit more personal. If you want to be led by God's Spirit, you have to stop following some of your friends who aren't being led by God. Some of you need to drop your friends because your friends are not good for you. They are not Christian. They are not helping you in your Christian walk. They are leading you in places you don't need to be. They're using God's name in vain. They are into doing things that our Christians don't do. And especially you younger people can be so easily affected by the peer pressure. Please, if you find people around you who are not Christians, who think, let's get into drugs, let's get into binge drinking on Super Bowl Sunday, let's get into swearing and cussing and doing all these other things. Listen to what the Apostle John writes. Do not let anyone lead you in the wrong way. Christ is righteous, and so be like Christ. You must do what is right. Anyone who keeps on sinning is led by the devil. And if you keep on hanging around with people who are leading you into a place you shouldn't be, you're being led by the devil. And that's a very dangerous thing because he can take over. Does this mean that we're to stay away from all non-Christian people and we're to cocoon ourselves as a little church and just be with the people we know? We're to be in the world but not of the world. After all, our vision statement says we are to make followers of Jesus Christ who will love God, love others, and show it. And the other only way we're going to show the love to others is that we hang around with them. But here's the thing. We hang around with them not as thermometers, but as thermostats. When you're a thermometer, what happens to you? You move up and down based on the conditions around you. Up, down, based on the weather, right? But if you're a thermostat, if your mind has been transformed and you're living Christ in the Spirit, you come into that room, you come in with your friends, you come into that environment with unchristian people, and you begin to affect the climate of your environment. That's what God calls on us to do, to be thermostats for Him, influencing them with the Word of God. Well, now that I'm on a roll, let's go on to number three. I must stop looking to other sources besides God. I've got news for you. Oprah may not be the answer. Netflix documentaries may not tell you everything you need to know. Romance novels may not affect your heart in quite the way you want it to. The place to look is in the owner's manual. And when you look in the owner's manual, what do you find? When you look in the Bible, you find about a loving God who, despite our waywardness and our running away from Him, like the hound dog from heaven He is, He ferreted us out and he found us and reclaimed us by the sending of His only Son, who was willing to take all the sins of all the world, past, present, and future, and to die for them on Calvary's cross. And because God is the God of the living and not of the dead, He raised this Jesus from the dead on Easter morning. And because He raised Jesus on Easter morning, Jesus becomes the first fruit of all those who have their faith in Jesus Christ. We too shall arise, that our bodies will be united with our spirits and our souls, and together will be with the Christ forevermore in heaven. Some people are hell-bent on looking to everything else but God to run their lives. There are some Christians, even, who look at their horoscopes to find out what they should do that day. They look for signs. They want to know. Deuteronomy 18 says this: never look to psychics or seances or fortune telling or the stars or people who claim to be in contact with the dead. People who do these things are doing evil, and God hates it with a passion. If you're doing it, stop it. And if you've no other Christians who are doing it and they're looking to the stars, tell them you have no further to look than to the sun, because the Sun of Righteousness will give you everything you need to know about life in the future. And then number four, I must stop being led by my feelings. By my feelings. Proverbs 14:12 says this: you may feel that you're on the right road and still end up dead. Have you ever been hijacked by your moods? Then you need to know that whether you're in a state of depression or a state of anxiety or even a state of elation, your feelings are a very poor guide. Don't rely on your feelings. Instead, cling to your faith. That faith that you have is the same whether you're depressed or elated, whether you're apart or connected. That faith that you have will never waver, because God's Spirit is in your heart and He'll keep you strong in all those low moments and all those high moments and all those valleys that we'll talk about next week and all those mountaintop experiences. It matters not where you are in that continuum. Your faith will keep you strong. Cling to faith and don't depend on feelings. So, having said these negatives, now I want to go to finally a couple of positives. As I desire guidance from God and want divine direction, number one, I get to ask the Holy Spirit to be my guide. How many of you have ever gone to a guidance counselor when you were in high school? Do you remember them? They would usually be bald-headed and wear a little kind of polka dot tie of some sort and look a little bit squeamish. And you walk into the office and, you take a little battery of tests and they set you on some hard chair. And they say, I think you need to be in forestry work or something like that. They'll tell you what you should do. You know, we have a guidance counselor. He's called the Holy Spirit. And when you were baptized as a baby, or the moment that faith came into your heart, if you're baptized later, that Holy Spirit took residence in you. That Holy Spirit never leaves you as you're a Christian. He's there all the time. And that Holy Spirit is our guidance counselor. He will guide us in every decision that we need to make. He will be there with whatever choice comes our way. This is the Holy Spirit of Christ, who knows how many hair and has them all numbered on her head. He knows the disease you have before you're even aware that you're sick. He knows all about you. And in Psalm 27, it says, teach me, Lord, what you want me to do, and lead me down the right path. That's the question we need to ask our Holy Spirit. But just how does the Holy Spirit lead us down the right path? Well, there are a lot of different ways, but I can sum it up in one or two sentences. I don't know how many times I've had this occasion, but I'd be walking into a room, maybe my office, and there would be somebody there for counseling that was wanting to talk to me. Something going on in their lives. And as I'm walking into the office, I don't know what I'm going to encounter. I don't know what's going to come out of their mouths. And so I will always silently pray to God, the Holy Spirit, my counselor, Lord, you're going to need to give me the words to say, because I don't even know what's coming at me. I've had no chance to prepare anything. You're going to have to give me the words to say. And I thank you in advance for doing it. And I just rely on this, humbly. And we ask in faith, believing that God will do what He says He's going to do. God, I need to know what you want me to say, and I thank you in advance for doing that. It's like what James says. In chapter 1, he says, if you want to know what God really wants you to do, ask Him, and He'll gladly tell you, for He's always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him. So you're asking humbly, you're asking in faith, because if you don't ask in faith, James says, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answers. And that's why, for some of us, we're not getting the answers we need. Because we're asking God, but we're kind of, well, I don't know if He's really going to give us what we need. Kind of doubting. We need to ask in faith. I remember some years ago, Karen and I were taking a trip across country. And this was in the day before all the apps. It was something called TomTom. Remember that? Do you remember that? That thing that was supposed to show you how to go down the road? It wasn't always so good. And it was getting toward dark, and our gas looked like it was on empty. And there was a sign on the road that said, gas, 30 miles ahead. I thought, oh boy, 30 miles ahead. Check TomTom. Gas. Side road, 10 miles, gas. What do I do? Trust the TomTom? 10 miles on this side, dirt road, middle of the night? Or do I go down 30 miles and maybe not make it? This is the thing about faith. When everything seems counterintuitive, you're going ahead with what the Holy Spirit is telling you anyway, and you're going because it says so. One more thing. If you want to be led by God's Holy Spirit, you've got to listen to God's response. You know, we talk about prayer a lot. And we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray until we're blue in the face. But we wonder, where are the answers? And maybe we're not getting the answers because we haven't stopped praying long enough to listen. You know, there's something to be said for that. We need to stop long enough to be able to listen to God's answer to our prayers. I'm reminded of when the Israelites were being led out of captivity in Egypt, and then Pharaoh's army took after them, and they were up against the Red Sea. Remember that story? And the Pharaoh's army surrounded them with their backs against the Red Sea, and they had no out. They were hemmed in on all sides. And then you remember what happened? God spoke to Moses. And Moses listened to God and obeyed God. And then what happened? The Red Sea parted, and the Israelites were able to escape via the dry land on the Red Sea. I want to leave you with this thought, because this rescue of the Israelites was captured in Psalm 77, verse 19. And it says this: "Your road, Lord, led by a pathway through the sea, a pathway no one knew was there." Maybe that's you right now. You think you're walled in on all sides. You don't know which way to turn. You're thinking, there's no way I'm going to get out of this. We're headed to bankruptcy. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. The doctor just gave me the word, and it starts with a C, and I think that's the end of it all. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I think I'm going for divorce. There's no, and you are exactly where God wants you to be. We're headed for a miracle. That's what God does. He specializes in miracles. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves it. So we begin to stop doing the four things we talked about. And then we begin to listen to the Holy Spirit. And we start and we stop. And we start and we stop. And in the process, we get God's guidance. And miraculously, he'll reveal to us a pathway that nobody even knew was there. That's because we have a great God, who is also called the Good Shepherd, a God who leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's rise and join together in prayer. God, you can make a way when there is no other way. You've proven it. You've proven it here at Emmanuel. Thank you, God, for this incredible passage, Psalm 23, as we're again reminded that you are good when I'm worried. You're going to meet my needs. For Lord, you are my shepherd. You have everything I need. When I'm stressed, you'll teach me to relax. You'll make me to lie down in green pastures and lead me beside still waters. And when I'm empty, you'll replenish my strength. You'll restore my soul. And when I don't know what to do, you'll guide me. You will lead me in the paths that are right for your name's sake. Oh, Lord God, that's what we want. We want to be led by your Spirit. We don't simply want to go through life depending on our own ingenuity, because we've had too many false starts and dead ends. Lord, starting today, there's some stuff that I need to stop doing. Help me to remember I can't follow a culture that doesn't follow you. So help me not to copy the behavior and values of the world. Help me to love everybody. Even though we don't love the value system, let me be a thermostat as I influence people around me. Help me remember that I cannot look at other sources, but I need to come to you with a clear conscience that it's not horoscopes and prayer. It's not self-help books and the Bible. They're not on the same level. Lord, I want to stop being mastered and manipulated by my moods. You know how moody we can get. You know how depressed I sometimes feel, how caustic I sometimes am toward others. And you know why, Lord, what's happened in my life that's caused me to be that way. Help me not to be led by my feelings any longer. I'm sorry for the times I've made my feelings my God, and I did what I felt like doing and not what you wanted me to do. Lord, today I'm telling you I want you to lead me by your Spirit. I want to be led, got to be led. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes that you might lead me. I don't have to understand everything. Let me tell you yes in advance to whatever you're planning. Help me to look at your word every day. Guide my steps by your word so I'll not be overcome by any evil. Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. Be my flashlight. Help me to remember that your will is found in your word. Your will never contradicts your word. And I ask your Holy Spirit to be my guidance counselor for the rest of my life. Help me not to be so impatient that I can't just stop and listen for your response in my life. Help me to wait on you. Help me to be still and know that you are God. And I want to thank you, even as we thank you for being over those who are hurting and ailing, those listed in our book, in our bulletin this morning, those in our heart, that you would give them peace and comfort, that you would be with our nation and our world today as this pandemic gets ever larger, as things go haywire in our government, as everything around us seems to be in chaos, that you would give us a sense of peace and hope that you are the one who is in control of all destiny. For this is what we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.